Please turn with me to the book of Ruth, the book of Ruth. I shall be reading chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. Chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. This is the word of God.
Let us go to God in prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, may your word today encourage those that need comfort. And for the comfortable, Lord, help us be the channel of your loving kindness. Open our hearts, our minds, as we listen to your word. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm posted to a very interesting unit for my reservists. I'm a care officer in the civil defense. I know some guys are quite jealous of this appointment. So while you tong sua, I will be behind caring for you. I'm just joking. This is becoming a very important unit as we see terror on the rise, you know, and my unit and what I'm doing is how to provide care for people who go through a traumatic incident. So during my last reservist, I attended a course on how to provide some initial care for people in crisis. And there was one session that was very impactful, and it was a psychologist that shared her experience when she received a sudden call in the middle of the night to fly to Sabah in a few hours. And she was activated to minister to the parents of the students who died at the Sabah earthquake a few years ago. Now, if you remember, there was a very tragic accident, and we lost some of our primary school students, a teacher and a guide in that earthquake. But as she was recounting, for her and for all of us, as we hear her, the most painful part was to hear that the parents had to identify the bodies of their child at a mortuary in Sabah. And as I listened to that tragic incident, my heart cringed. We got to hold back our emotions a little bit. Because I was wondering, how would I cope? I too have three children at a school-going age. I do not know how I'll cope if something happened to my loved ones. As we live on this side of eternity, it means that we are not spared from pain and loss. Life on earth would imply that we will have earthly problems. We will face pain and suffering and losses. Our problems and losses come in different shapes and sizes. Some can be devastating, as losing a loved one. Others also hurt when a relationship doesn't work out, when you lose a job, when you didn't do well for your exams, when illness strike, and at times we make wrong decisions and have to face the consequences. And in times like this, we wonder, does God care? And if so, how does he care for us? But yet for most of us, life is generally comfortable. And yes, we thank God for that. But as God's people, how can we be God's care officers to people around us who are hurting and need to see a light in their dark tunnel? Now, we discover that in our passage today. And one of the important lessons that we will discover in this passage and the book of Ruth is that God's loving kindness is not absent from our lives, especially in dark times. And is especially seen when the people of God care for others. Now, this is the first of our series in Ruth, and we heard the passage. Let's dwell a little bit about what's happening to Ruth and her situation. A poor widow was in her darkest time of her life, and it was a time of national crisis. In the opening lines, the biblical author tells us the dark setting of this book. He tells us that in the days when the judges rule. Now, if we were to look at the book before, the book of Judges, we get a better picture of why the author tells us this. And it's a very sad period in the history of Israel where Ruth, the incident in Ruth happens. It was a period where a new generation arose after Moses and Joshua. The older generation have seen how God worked miraculously, and they have followed God faithfully. But now there's a new generation in the book of Judges, and they have forgotten who God is. And what happens in that, if you read the book, there's idolatry, bloodshed, gross immorality, and murder. That was in the book of Judges. And the book of Judges ends with this very sad summary. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Now, can you imagine if today in Singapore, everybody did what was right in their own eyes? Bo Jing Hu. No government. You just do what you like, what you feel like doing. No laws to obey. I think what will happen is immorality will grow and be freed. So that was what's happening in Ruth's time. And to add to the misery, it was a time of economic crisis. Look at verse 1. The author tells us there was a famine in the land. Famine means likely there's a drought, there's no water. And in an agricultural society, no water means no produce. No produce, no jobs. Everybody's life was threatened. The basic need was not there. It was a time of economic crisis. And it was during this time of crisis that Naomi and her family decided to migrate to Moab, evidently, perhaps looking for greener pastures. However, not all decisions in life goes the way we expect. And for Naomi, more hardship and tragedy awaits her on the other side. The breadwinner of the family passed away. And can you imagine a widow in a foreign land having to face all the challenges to raise up her two sons? But she did so. She managed to raise her two sons, and somehow her two sons got married. But then in verse 5, another tragedy hits her. Her two sons died. And to add to that bereavement, her two sons did not father any children. And this poor widow has lost everything. All her immediate family is gone. She has no grandchildren to comfort her. And that is the context of the book and what's happening in Naomi's life. It was a time of national crisis. It is not as though there is an MP that can help you or an FSC that you can turn to, a family service center. No one, everybody for themselves, they do what is right for themselves. It was a time of economic crisis. It's a challenge even to survive. And there was a family crisis from wife to widow, from mother to childless woman. And for a woman in those times especially, where her entire security lies in having a man in the house, all her security is wiped out. Her identity as a woman in those societies is to produce a child and descendants. Her identity is stripped away from her. She has no descendants. And one commentator puts it this way. Stranger in a foreign land, this woman is a victim of death and life. It's a dead end. What is going to happen to Naomi? Is there any hope? Naomi doesn't think there is any hope. Look at what she tells her daughter-in-law in verse 13 at the last part. The hand of the Lord has gone against me. Now this phrase means that Naomi thinks that God is now her enemy. If those hands that were supposed to love her tenderly has now gone against her, then God has become her enemy. And we can feel her disappointment with God later as we look, in verses 20 and 21, when the woman of the hometown came out to greet Naomi. In verses 20 to 21, she said to them, you know, don't call me Naomi. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? It is hard for Naomi to believe that God cares. You can feel the disillusion in her voice when she says, don't call me Naomi. She wants to change her name. Naomi means pleasant. Call me Mara, bitter. That is who I am. And that is my life situation. Do you know of someone today who is like a Naomi, that have lost all hope? Friends or family members who have been struck by crisis? Or perhaps some of us identify with Naomi. Life has taken a turn. From what used to be pleasant, it has now become bitter. There used to be laughter in the family, but now things have become more sober because of a crisis. Perhaps you have not made the best decision about your career choices, and now you face with the consequence. Perhaps you are still healing from a broken relationship, and you keep asking, what went wrong? Maybe you are a parent who is struggling to raise a child. Some among us left homes. You are in a foreign land here just to seek work. But then there are issues back at home and you can't do anything about it. In such situations, we may have the same thoughts as Naomi. God, have you made my life bitter? Perhaps we wonder if God even exists in our lives. Well, the book of Ruth do not pretend to have easy or quick answers. But the good news is this. The Almighty, the invisible God, he still cares for us. He is not absent from our dark situation. But we ask, how does God care for us when we go through such situation? How does God help ordinary people like us when we go through earthly struggles? There are two important truths the book of Ruth and in our passage highlights to us. And firstly, in times of crisis and need, we can be assured that God's loving kindness is still at work. You see, the biblical author gives us a very strong hint that despite the calamities, God's hand is at work. Look at verse 6. And even Naomi acknowledges it. Look at verse 6. Naomi had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and had given them food. While she was at Moab, she heard that the Lord is doing something. The Lord has visited his people and has given them food means that God is doing the impossible. He is changing the external environment. From famine, he's helping to produce the harvest for his people. And this was an open door for her to return back to home. He's going to bring hope. He's going to bring opportunities to her. And in the following chapters, we will observe how the Lord took care of the widows through a harvest and a law that he established that they could freely harvest. And he didn't just provide for their daily living. The book ends with a beautiful picture and blessing. The people calls Naomi blessed. The Lord provided for her descendants. Naomi thought that God had turned against her, but God was turning her emptiness into fullness of life. You know, a CG member was sharing a YouTube testimony on this person called Judith Halim in our WhatsApp group. You can Google her testimony, it's very encouraging. Judith is an Indonesian, married to a Singaporean businessman. She came to Singapore at the age of 20 years old, 8 months pregnant, the husband. And at the second day of her delivery, the doctor released news that they have detected some abnormality in her baby. Apart from the Down syndrome, the baby had 3 holes in her heart. And the doctor was very convinced that this child would not live beyond 3 months. But then when the child was 1 year old, she received another shock of her life. Her husband said that, you know, we are not meant for each other. And he just left the very next day. Alone with a sick child in a foreign land, her whole world crushed, caved in on her. No money, no friends, no one to help. She couldn't even speak English that she can find a job. And so she sunk into a depression. She was staying on the 14th floor in a room in a HDB flat, and her intent was to jump with her baby. And it was in the afternoon at 2 p.m. she was writing that letter to her mother, that final letter, to say that, you know, how sorry she was that she's not able to take care of her. There was a call, and a strange call. An insurance agent called her and asked her, do you want to buy insurance? She said, I got no money. Then the insurance agent asked her, do you want to go to church? Can I invite you to church? For some strange reason, Judith said yes. So she attended church. The insurance agent picked her up. And she went into that church and she did not understand anything that was going on. Everything was in English. The next thing she knew, that the pastor singled her out and asked her to come forward to be prayed for. And tell her that God is going to do something to her. Jesus will do something in your life. She did not know who this Jesus is or what she was doing. She just prayed to receive him. But as she does that, strangely, the next day, she could finally sleep after many months of sleepless nights. And she felt a supernatural peace that she has never felt before. She has always felt pain. But this time there was peace. And she found a new purpose in living. This Jesus has given me this peace. And so I will live for this Jesus that I heard yesterday. Somehow she managed to find strength. God gave her the strength to go and persevere, to look for jobs. And God gave her much favor. She began to learn English, start everything from scratch, and through her diligence, God gave her favor. She was promoted. And a few years later, Judith could bring her daughter to the doctors again. And when the doctor examined the child, they couldn't believe what they discovered. What did you do to the child? There are no more holes. They couldn't believe and kept asking her, what did you do? For Judith, God has given her child a new heart. Deserted, hungry, penniless, dead end. But today, She's the boss of Olive Vine, a restaurant in Marina Square. And she has an incredible testimony. She's doing an incredible work feeding hungry children different parts of the world and sharing her testimony. Friends, Ruth and Judith's testimony tells us that God's loving kindness is at work in our lives. Don't give up on Him. You may not see the light at the end of the tunnel now, but hold on to Him. He will carry you through that dark situation. So the first lesson the book and the passage reveals to us is that God's loving kindness is at work. And if throughout the book of Ruth, the biblical author gives us the glimpse of God's hand at work, that bringing all these to a great fulfillment, and ultimately through Naomi's and Ruth's life, God brought the greatest king on earth, King David, and through that, our Lord Jesus Christ. God can do a wonderful work through our lives. Hold on to Him in your dark moments. The second lesson that this book and this passage reveals to us is that God's loving kindness is at work through you and I, through people. God will do the impossible, but He will also use ordinary people like you and I to help others experience His loving kindness. There's a word that is often repeated in this book, and it's a major theme in the book of Ruth, and that is the word hesed. In Hebrew, it means loving kindness. What is hesed? It is that gracious, that loving kindness that goes beyond the call of duty. It's going out of your way to care for someone else. It involves acts of kindness, mercy, and generosity. And as we read the book, you observe how the characters, the people of God in the book, despite the dark times of the book of Judges, were light to people's life around them. Boaz would go beyond his responsibility to provide for Ruth and Naomi. Naomi, in turn, will seek the betterment of Ruth to find her a family. And the younger Ruth encourages the older Boaz to take her and to be her redeemer. And Boaz took on the obligations to maintain the lifeline and the family name of the widow by marrying Ruth. These are the acts of kindness that God eventually used to bring about His salvation plan. And in our passage today, we see an act of kindness that goes beyond the call of duty. You see, Naomi told her two daughters-in-law, "Hey, don't follow me. Your life will be gone if you follow me. Go back to your hometown." And one of her daughter-in-law went. Orpah, she left. But the chapter tells us that Ruth clung on her. She refused to abandon her mother-in-law. You know, it would have been better for Ruth if she has left the situation. She was not obligated to stay with the family. She could have been freed from the burdens and the misery. She could have had her own family of her own if she would have went back. She would have gone back to her security, her hometown, her parents' house. There will be people taking care of her. But then Ruth said to Naomi, "No." And verses 16 and 17 are so powerful. She says to her this, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. And where you die, I will die. There will I be buried." What an extraordinary act of loving kindness. She went out of her own comfort, her future, to stick with someone that would not give her any hope. You know, we read earlier that the book was set in the dark days of the judges. But acts of kindness are that light and comfort in the dark days. Isn't it true? When you are down and out, when you are discouraged, and when someone says a word of encouragement to you or do an act of kindness, it just lifts up our spirit, that gives us mileage to go on, isn't it? And more often than not, God uses us, our lives, to be that channel of light to the dark situations that we see around us. There's a good book that I read, and I recommend you to read. The title of the book is Waters from a Deep Well by Jared Stitzer. And this book captures Christian spirituality from the days of early Christians, from the days of the martyrs to modern-day missionary. And in one of the chapters, it describes how Christianity grew to be a movement that many people joined. And one of the things was that it accepts people of regardless of gender and social status, and Christianity will love and care. And one of the ways that the early church cared for people was in time of crisis. During the Roman Empire, there were two major plagues, and it was so serious that thousands died daily. And although the early Christians were also affected by the plague, they responded differently. Many people did not want to do anything with the sick or the dead bodies because it's a plague. You have to protect yourself. But the Christians in the early church, they nursed the sick. They washed the dead bodies, and they buried the bodies. They made soup and feed those who are sick. They changed their bedsheets. They put a wet towel over their forehead. And the survival rate of those who are cared for by the early Christians went up. And God uses these acts of loving kindness to bring healing and salvation to the empire. Now, friends, we heard that God's loving kindness is at work through people. People like you and I. We can be God's light in the dark situations that people face. And there are very simple and powerful ways that we can be that light to people. Do you have a family member or a relative who would be greatly encouraged if you visited them? Perhaps some of you are caring for elderly parents or a loved ones. These are acts of loving kindness to the Lord. Driving those who can't come to church, giving free tuition to poor children. These are offerings of loving kindness. Is there someone in your office tomorrow as you go back to the office, can use a word of encouragement? Or in the school, your friends that you know is not in the best of situation, that you can be encouragement to your friend. A key part of our mission is to care for one another. Is there someone in our congregation that we can extend that care to? The act of loving kindness. You know, being lambs for Christ is another way that we can demonstrate God's loving kindness. The first acronym, L, is to look out for us, for someone. And it means to form that personal relationship and friendship with people. It means to go out of our way. It means to empathize with people who are going through a tough time. And as I was preparing this sermon, the Lord brought to mind someone who has not been attending church and going through a crisis. And I dropped him a note, "Hey, are you free to catch up?" It can be as simple as that. And so as we listen to the sermon, who is someone that the Lord wants you to look out and to care for? How can you and I go out of our way to help this person experience God through acts of loving kindness? The sermon today exhorts us that God's loving kindness is with us. And the Holy Communion that we celebrate just now helps us to experience that, God's forgiveness and his kindness. Jesus has pledged his commitment to us. Thick or thin, he walks with us. If he died on the cross for us, he will walk the darkest journey together with us. And he also calls us to reach out to the uncomfortable. For those of us who are comfortable, reach out to the uncomfortable, that they too can experience God through your act, my act of loving kindness. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. The person that you put in our hearts, God, we commit the person to you, Lord. Help us to be your people, to be that light in the dark situations of people's life, Lord. To bring hope, to bring light through act of loving kindness. Help us to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In response to the word that we have heard, let us stand and sing this song together. There is an everlasting kindness you lavish on. When the radiance of heaven came to rescue the lost, you called a sheep without a shepherd to lead their distress. For your streams of forgiveness and the shade of your rest. What boundless love. What boundless love, what fathomless grace you have shown us, O God of compassion. Each day we live an offering of praise as we show to the word your compassion. Verse 2. And with compassion for the hurting, you reach out your hand as the lame ran to meet you and the dead breathed again. You saw behind the eyes of sorrow and shedding now tears. Heard a sigh of the weary, let the children draw near. verse 3. We stood behind the cross of Calvary and gaze on your face and the thorns of oppression and the wounds of disgrace. For surely you have borne our suffering and carried our grave as you pardon the scoffer. Show grace to the thief. What boundless love, what fathomless grace you have shown us, O God of compassion. Each day we live an offering of praise as we show to the world your compassion. As we show to the world your compassion. As we show to the world your compassion. Indeed, God's loving kindness is not absent and is seen when we care for others. Amen. Please be seated.